If he's back, he's never going to speak to me again, but that's okay. So I'm driving down, and I'm thinking, like, there's a chance he might have stopped in Cosmic Donuts.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, right here on the Ira Kaufman podcast. We are in the famed Bill Curry Ford Studios, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, deep behind major security here, Ira. That's how they treat the Ira Kaufman studio.
And, Steve, we were regaled with some great stories from Sean Sullivan, the general manager here at Bill Curry Ford. Yeah, we're in the conference room where Sean does his best-in-class podcast.
There you go. So, look, Ira, beautiful vehicles downstairs, 400-plus vehicles in inventory, great offers on the website, BillCurryFord.com, up to $20,000 off MSRP on select 2024 models. There are very few left.
How much money did you just say?
Up to $20,000 off. And, of course, they've got used vehicles. Sean, who we talked to, he is hungry to buy your vehicle. And you don't have to buy a Bill Curry Ford vehicle. They are eager to add to their used vehicle inventory. He's paying way over Kelley Blue Book value in most situations. BillCurryFord.com. Check them out for all their service offers.
And that service department.
And they're open on Sunday. Service department now, 11 to 4 for express service. Family owned, three generations of the Curry family. And they're right next door to us here as we sit here. BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, we'll talk later about Florida's Elite Restoration. You were talking so much about ribeyes and ice cream that Josh texted me saying all that ribeye talk. It's time for us to have dinner next month. So we'll make that happen. Sage, you were at One Buck for the exciting times of Hassan Reddick meeting the media. Hey, what do you want your people here on this podcast to know?
He's gone a long way in winning me over, Steve. Well-spoken. He's going to be a go-to guy for me in the locker room. And Lee watches me. I go to the offensive lineman, as does the Kemper, because they tend to be good talkers. Well, now I got a guy on the defensive side of the ball besides Winfield that can get the job done and fill my notebook. Steve, my big takeaway is this is a very motivated player. The way the Bucs have structured this contract, it's not a three-year deal. It's a make-or-break deal for Reddick coming off what he claims is a, quote, bizarre year in New York. I think it was a debacle. I think he made a poor decision. Maybe that's why he changed agents. Steve, I think he cost himself money because the Bucs would not have gotten him, Lee, at this price, had Reddick been coming off a 12-sack season. No way. You see what the top sackers are getting. You see it.
Oh, yeah. There's a reason for that.
And there's a reason for it. He's very motivated. He's got a track record. Your favorite word is potential means you ain't done it yet. He's done it. He's done it at the top level for different organizations, different schemes, different coaches, different defensive coordinators. He comes to Tampa Bay at the right time. Right time for his career and the right time for a Buck team that, I'll say it, is desperate for a quality edge rush.
Yeah.
Maybe Diaby will pick up his game. Maybe he will. I think Reddick will help him in that regard. By the way, I think one of those two guys is going to have to shift over to the left side. I don't think that's that big a deal. I think Bowles can't wait for Reddick to get in shape and help Bowles on his quest. Number one priority, we want to rush with four and get a very strong pass rush with four. And I think Reddick's going to be a big part of that.
You know what Al Davis would how he would describe Hassan Reddick?
You must put the quarterback down, and you must put him down hard.
Well, I love that, and that goes without saying, sure. But another famous Al Davis saying, he has pedigree.
Oh, I like that.
He has pedigree. Would Hassan Reddick be in Tampa Bay today if Casey Rogers was still frontline coach? He famously said, we don't care where sacks come from.
Lee, the edge rush makes all the difference because it makes everybody around you more effective.
Thank you.
It affects everything.
Thank you.
And we saw it last year. Todd Bowles, and Lee, you put it very eloquently.
Ooh.
What if I ever used that word with you, Dick?
Yeah,
Kemper?
Exactly.
Maybe Steve said it.
He's eloquent, I'm not.
That Bowles felt he was boxed in terms of how creative he could be and what kind of scheme they can play in pass defense. Because he knew he didn't have the studs on the edge. And all of a sudden you're playing a soft zone and you don't have the pressure to make the soft zone effective. I always go back to that freaking Atlanta game. Maybe both games, but especially the game in Atlanta. I was there. I witnessed it. It was awful, Lee. It was freaking awful. Pitch and catch with Cousins.
Pretty much.
Never move him off his spot.
No.
1-2-3. The ball's out. Jamel Dean's 9 yards back. No pass contested. So easy. And Buck fans just furious at watching that. And that wasn't the only game that happened.
How'd you feel about Reddick talking about his personal story? Walk on at Temple.
Fabulous.
And there he becomes first round draft pick from there and everything in between.
Shows how he can overcome adversity, if you want to call it adversity, on a walk on.
He apparently came from a disadvantaged household, let's put it that way.
You know, and then emerging, I think he said it was the 13th pick in the draft. That's a high pick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did Arizona misuse him? Yeah, they did, especially in the beginning. They did. They cost him a few years of sacks. Who knows what his career total would be right now.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's not old, Lee. He's not 33. I love that.
29, is he?
Should be entering his peak 30. Years.
He's 30.
Okay.
Lee, should be entering his peak years. Now, look, is this guy Myles Garrett?
No.
He's never been, but he's good. He's good. When he's healthy and in the right scheme, he's really good. And say what you want about Todd Bowles as a head coach. A lot of people are still skeptical. He's not the guy that can get us to the promised land, this and that. He knows how to use defensive players, and he's got one in this guy.
You know, you were talking about how some people are skeptical, and, you know, we've gone over that
more
before.
More than a few, Lee. More than
yeah,
a few.
Yeah, we've gone over that before, how, you know, some people still hold the Cooper Kupp catch against him. What I want to bring up is, and I see this, and I'm starting to get angry about it, it's just a dumbass comment. They're comparing him to Randy Gregory. Oh, is he going to hold out? Oh, is he going to quit? Look, people.
That's a lot of nonsense.
Yeah, Derek Brooks held out. Tristan Wirfs held out. It's not a mortal sin. Find me one person that will mock Derek Brooks. Find me one person that mocks Tristan Wirfs. Those guys held out, so, you know, knock it off.
What the hell could Reddick benefit from holding out from the Bucks? That's not going to happen, Steve. It's not going
to
happen.
He chose where to go. He's not
agreed
holding.
To the deal.
He's not holding out.
Well, I think people are holding it. What happened in Philadelphia last year against him. Like, hey, you got traded. You should have showed up.
He did acknowledge that there were some business issues with the Eagles. And he acknowledged that with the Jets, obviously, he didn't even want to talk about it. So his last two teams didn't end too well. So we'll see. But I there's no reason to think that he's a bad apple.
He picked this team, Steve. And I believe him when he said he could have had other suitors. Or he did have other suitors.
I'm sure he did have other suitors.
Well, look, if Joey Bosa got $12 million or $10 million up in Buffalo, and Leonard Floyd...
And he's hurt all the time.
Yep. Leonard Floyd got $10 million in Atlanta to reunite with Raheem Morris.
I think Reddick's a better player than Leonard Floyd.
So yeah. My point is there were plenty of teams out there willing to pay $10 million plus for pass rushers. I'm sure he had his share of phone calls. But look, it's exciting. You know, polished guy. One thing that Drew Rosenhaus said last year, he took over, you know, he became Reddick's agent when Reddick ditched his management and was dying to work something out as things were falling apart with the Jets. And it was mid-October and he hadn't reported yet. One thing Rosenhaus said was that, hey, Reddick was his first player to ever hold out in more than a decade. And he was like, look, don't blame Hassan Reddick. He's like, you know, when Hassan Reddick was traded to the Jets, a long-term deal was not worked out. And that's usually how this goes. And he said, I had Tyreek Hill. When he was traded from the Chiefs to the Dolphins, a long-term contract was in place. When LeSean McCoy, Eagles to the Bills, long-term deal in place. Darius Slay, Lions to the Eagles, long-term deal in place. Antonio Brown, Steelers to the Raiders. Raiders had a long-term contract for him, but that was
kind of goes hand in hand, right?
But Reddick gets traded to the Jets, and there was no long-term deal. Now, that's the fault of his former management, and things got messed up. So it wasn't just on him, and I think, like you said, he realizes mistakes that he made, and now hopefully it's all behind him. And he said, I'm so used to controversy in my life, is sort of what he was saying, that, you know, walk on, and, you know, getting to the NFL and changing positions and being out of position and getting my spot and jumping in free agency, that coming to the Bucs and a change, I'm used to it. I'm just a move forward guy, and he's shown that.
Were you the guy, Steve, that asked him what pass rushers he tried to emulate?
No.
Well, he had a good answer, and he gave one name, and it was a hell of a name, Von Miller, whose career, great career, Hall of Fame career, you know, is basically over. But at his peak, especially as a Bronco, Lee, and you remember what he did to Cam Newton in that Super Bowl. They couldn't block him. And I think it goes with the question that I asked. I said a lot of speed rushers come out of college. They're taken in the first round, and the Bucs have taken a few over the years. Not light, necessarily, but a few. That they just rely on speed around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
And when you get to the next level, and the left tackle ain't too shabby,
yeah,
and he's not at Northwestern.
He's not
whatever,
a child.
Yeah. It don't work, Lee. It don't work. So you need a package. Reddick has a package. Von Miller had a package. Remember when Miller used to come around the edge? He used to make himself like 5'6".
He had
that knack.
Yeah.
And that's important. And Reddick's got a bag of tricks. He's not a one-trick pony. And I think that that's going to serve him very well in Tampa.
One thing Reddick said, he was asked what his greatest strength is as a pass rusher, and he said, I'm smarter.
The mental.
Which was, you know, and he explained, and he went into that, and that sounded great. You know, I mean, the physical, you can lose the physical sometimes during a game. You're banged up, whatever. But if he feels he can win mentally and that's how he does it, yeah, that's not going to fade.
Lee, if they have a four-man rush, so you figure it'll be Diaby, Reddick, Kancey.
And Villa.
That's their core four when they're doing that. Of course, Bulls is going to rotate in all these guys.
Nelson comes in. Yeah. Where's that leave Logan Hall? I mean,
he's not going to play on passing downs as much as he usually did.
Logan Hall, they pretty much have groomed him to be the next Will Golston. I think he is that guy. I don't know if Will Golston's coming back or not. The last couple of years, his production's dropped. A great guy.
Maybe a little better pass rusher than Golston.
A little bit. At one time, Golston could, you know, I'm not saying he was a great pass rusher, but he could get to the quarterback now and then.
He's still out there, Lee. Golston's still
out there. Yeah, I don't know if he's done or not.
Yeah, he's had a nice career.
For a fourth-round pick, was he, I think? Yeah, he's had a very nice career. I don't know if he's going to come back. I talked to him, you know, last year, end of the season. He's been waffling for a couple of years, and his production's gone down. He's openly talks about being a high school coach, so I don't know.
Where I disagree with Isbitz, and it's going to be a year-long
Are we going in a different direction here?
No. It's Shaq Barrett. Shaq Barrett. You want Shaq Barrett, you demand Shaq Barrett on this roster, and I think it's time to move on.
Well, one thing Larry Foote said off to the side, I asked him about Shaq Barrett. Went backhanded about it. I said, hey, you know, you said you just talked to Chris Braswell the other day. Are you staying in touch?
I'm glad you mentioned Braswell.
Are you staying in touch with Shaq?
I'm putting my chips on Braswell.
You're waiting for a shock?
I'm putting my chips on Braswell.
How many chips you got?
Two?
I'm putting two coconut donuts on Braswell.
So we'll get to the coconut donut. So I asked him about Shaq. I said, are you in touch with Shaq as well? And he said, oh, yeah. He said hopefully he'll play either here or somewhere else. So he sort of made it sound like Shaq's 100% playing, and we'll see where he ends up. Because he mentioned somewhere else. So
you think there's a market for Barrett, Steve?
The NFL's hurting for pass rushers. If a guy's willing to play cheap, then they'll try to see. You know, any successful guy who's willing to play cheap, who's in shape, he'll get a look. But I want to go back to Logan Hall. Will Golston led the team, I think it was 2020 or 2021, led the team in quarterback hits. And, you know, Logan Hall, nowhere close to...
That was stunning.
Yeah, look, he had a good year in part-time duty. That was his big thing. But 5.5 sacks for Hall last year. So the NFL's changed a lot, Ira. Passing downs aren't necessarily passing downs. Guys get rotated in a lot more. Reddick's like a play 75% of the snaps guy. And we know that Yaya is a play 75% of the snaps
guy. And
there's
a lot of two-down defensive linemen. They play the first two downs. Then on 3rd and 7.
Anthony Nelson is back on a two-year deal, Ira, for $5 million a year plus incentives. So
that's another positive move.
That's their big four. So we'll see how it goes.
With Hall real quick, whatever they get from him when it comes to a pass rush, that's gravy. They want him in there to stop the run, which is what Golson's big thing was, stopping the run.
I don't think it's impossible that Braswell picks up his game in year two. I'm not saying he's going to be T.J. Watt.
Was he going to drop his game? Come on.
He drops his game, he's invisible.
It's like Bill Parcells taking over the Jets after they won one game.
Didn't Bowles indicate that Braswell's game at the end of the season was better?
That's what he claimed. 1.5 sacks, really?
Yeah.
Really?
No, he wasn't on the field all that much.
No, that's like, that.
But he's a second-round pick.
We've been through this, Ira. He didn't play much at the end of the year. So, yeah, he picked up his
He was inactive in the playoff game.
But he just didn't play much. So,
if he was playing better, why was he inactive?
Well, with Reddick now, you're not counting on Braswell as much.
Thank goodness. And I'm not anti-Braswell, but, and by the way, shock. Just saying, that's what Jason Light said. He's going to shock
people. Oh, yeah, shock the world.
Shock. He's going to shock.
The last person who said somebody's going to shock the world was Cassius Clay. After beating Liston in the first fight.
The last time I heard someone
use... I shook up the world. Is Braswell going to say that?
The last time I heard someone use that, he called Beano Cook's radio show on ESPN and asked if Michigan was going to shock the world. Beano Cook's immediate reaction was, Pearl Harbor shocked the world.
Beano Cook, he was off the air by 1955, DeKemper.
No,
unbelievable.
He worked up through the 21st century.
All right, Sage. Justin School, Ira, He's a member of the Minnesota Vikings. Your thoughts there?
Well,
and it's they call him Schooly on the playground, if you will. His name is School.
I'll say this, Lee. After the awful game in Detroit, now Hutchinson can make anybody look bad.
That bad?
It was bad. He got better. He got better.
Yes, he did. Yes.
And he helped the Bucs.
Yes, he did.
He helped them. So I'm not going to diminish the fact that they lost a guy who showed that he can play on the pro level. And I'm not sure they replaced him with a guy that has the pedigree, Lee.
As Al Davis would say.
Probably a good move for Minnesota. Not a devastating loss for the Bucs, but,
important
you know,
loss.
Steve talks about the depth on the offensive line. It's important. They have been lucky, Lee, in terms of the continuity. They have been lucky. A guy misses a game or two, you can get by with that. Not a guy missing 10 weeks, God forbid.
Exactly. Well, that's why I'm not cool with losing school. No, I didn't try that. That was not on purpose, that rhyme.
They didn't cut school, but they lost school.
Yeah, I don't like that because, yes, he got abused, absolutely abused by Aiden Hutchinson. But after that game, he rapidly got better. Remember, he played 5 games for Getke. And after, you know, maybe his third start, you really didn't notice him, which is the most important thing with an offensive lineman. If you don't notice
him, right.
You don't hear his name. And School was getting a job done for Getke. And then when everybody had a stroke and Werfs got hurt against the 49ers, School came in, went up against Nick Bosa. And I said, oh, here we go. Here come the floodgates. And I think Bosa may have had one quarterback hit after that.
Right.
He did a really nice job against Nick Bosa. He started against the Giants. Yeah, I know the Giants. But the Giants did have a decent defensive front. So I think they lost a valuable backup.
And
I really
Steve,
do.
This augments your argument, which is not crazy, that don't think the Bucs don't need to address offensive line in the draft.
Well, they signed Charlie Heck, who is a
heck of a guy.
A long time
son of Andy Heck. Long-time left tackle in the NFL.
A veteran. You know, he's made a lot more starts than School has in his career. I'm not sure. The word isn't out yet how much they're paying him. But this isn't like a guy that couldn't be beaten out by another pickup or a draft pick. We'll see.
I could see the Bucs taking an offensive lineman, Lee, on like day 3. I could see it. They did it last year with Klein, 6th round. And I think they like Klein. You know, Charlie Heck's father was Andy Heck. Played 12 seasons in the NFL.
He's still alive.
Yeah.
He's the Chiefs O-line coach.
Pretty good player. You know, not Tristan Wirfs, but pretty good player. So we'll see. But, you know, losing Hainsey, that robs you of a little versatility. And I'm not a big Hainsey fan, but as a backup.
There's a lot of Bucs fans that despise him. And for some twisted reason.
That's too strong a word, Lee. It's too
strong. Oh, no, it's not. You don't read the comments.
No, but I mean, they shouldn't despise him.
No, I know they shouldn't despise him. And all because some twisted logic that Robert Haynes is the reason why Rashad White couldn't run. Well, we know that's BS, don't we?
Not a bad time to be a Buck fan, Steve. Not a bad time.
Sage, you got any thought about the linebacker that was brought in from the Dolphins? I'll hit you first with the cornerback.
Are you trying to make me say the words Zavassier Dennis so I can get the Kemper in a tizzy?
Cornerback Kendall Vildor, 5-year veteran.
That sounds like an actor on a B-movie.
Yeah, like Kindle a Dracula.
Victor. You know, come on.
I thought you were going to say a different kind of movie.
I'd be surprised if that guy makes the team.
Whoa.
Makes the team. It's a 5-year veteran.
I don't care. They're going to draft a cornerback with a premium pick. I'm saying it right now. Premium pick.
Premium.
That means first 2 days.
Okay.
First 2 days. They're going to draft the corner.
And what are they going to do with him? And I know you're confident the Jamel Dean train is going to leave the station.
It's off the track. It's derailed. If he's back, he's never going to speak to me again. But that's okay. I just think they can do better. And Lee, you're always yakking about how he's never around. He's
in the
hurt.
Playoff games, yeah.
And my point goes beyond that. I don't think he's that good when he plays.
Well, they win when he plays. When he got hurt.
You don't take the ball away, Lee.
I don't find that to be a high virtue. If it happens, it happens. I'm more worried about fundamentals. I'm more worried about tackling. I'm more worried about making sure that the other guy doesn't catch the ball. If it's a pick, okay. If it's a pass defense, okay. If it's sack, even better. I'm just worried about fundamentals. That's what I'm worried about.
I'm not sure his tackling's up to snuff.
When Dean got hurt last year, which I know shock, in the middle of the season, what happened? Bucks went into a tailspin. And they did win a Super Bowl with the guy, so it's like, how bad could he be?
Didn't he split a little time with Murphy Bunting?
A little bit, yeah. But who did they keep? They didn't keep Murphy Bunting. And Murphy Bunting's been bouncing around. But he still makes enough money to have that beautiful girlfriend.
And they didn't keep Carlton Davis. And they kept Dean.
They traded Carlton Davis. Yes, they did. Who, by the way, ran to the bank this past week, didn't he?
I think Davis was better than Dean, Steve, but it might have been a financial decision.
Were you surprised to see Davis make $20 million?
Yeah. I mean, he had a nice season, but he's not elite.
Oh, he's hurt as well a lot.
He's not elite, Steve.
Has he ever made a Pro Bowl?
No.
I didn't think so.
He did a nice job for the Lions.
The Bucs, at least per what Bowles had told me at the owners' meetings when I was solo with him in Arizona a couple years ago, they wanted to keep Murphy Bunting. It just got away from him too quickly, you know, with before they knew it, he was gone, and that was it. They love him now in Arizona. Three picks last year. Seems to have found a home as an outside corner. Murphy Bunting never wanted to play inside, and that's where they had him. That's where they had him, and they had, you know, Dean and Davis on the outside. So, man, the Bucs, when you think about it, we used to sit here for years talking about draft picks that never did anything. Now we got guys all over the league that have been had some level of success. It's interesting. I asked about Joe Tryon-Shoyinka to Larry Foote today if he had any parting words for and he basically said, look, he didn't live up to expectations here, but great guy. And he said he had a ton of respect for him for when he was benched late last season, that he just was the same guy every single day, and they wish him well.
Larry Foote, the subject was Yahya, but he was speaking in generalities. He did mention Reddick. He mentioned Yahya. That when a guy's drafted, your third year is probably what the guy's going to be. However a guy plays in his third year, that's probably how he's going
to
be.
So Braswell's got another year to show before he's on the precipice.
Exactly what Foote said. I always give guys the first 2 years to learn. He goes, the third year, how a guy plays is pretty much how he's going to be.
If I could take a page from the great sage, he would say, that's what you say when you have a couple of bad years to start your career. Come on, Foote. Get out of here with
Stevie,
that.
You see Izzy in winning the slot job? Who's it competing against?
Sage, look, the draft, the Bucs aren't afraid to play rookies. They're not afraid to feel really good about their picks and get them in there. And we don't know who they're going to draft. So it's nice to say they're going to draft an outside corner, but suppose he doesn't fall in your lap. It wouldn't shock me if they drafted a nickel, a guy they really loved, even if they, you know, maybe he's their third choice as a second-round pick. So they end up with this guy, and then they love him. It's like Logan Hall. He wasn't their first choice, but that's how it shook out to them, and they made their moves and didn't get who they maybe really wanted. So I don't know. But Izian is going to be there because they trust him. And
you think he'll be exposed the more snaps he gets, you think he'll be exposed? I kind of like the guy.
Well, look, they watched him play nickel all of 2023, and Todd Bowles said, he can't be my nickel
anymore. And so we got to draft somebody.
Yeah, so take that for what it's worth.
Would you move Tyke Smith out of the slot just because Smith wants to play more of a free safety role? I mean, you drafted him to play that position, and I thought he was okay.
Again, he was dinged up a lot last year. At least I thought he was.
He made some plays, Lee.
I think he's going to be a solid ball player. But apparently he's been kind of nudging Bowles. I want to play safety. They got an opening at safety now.
They
do
have an opening.
We shall see.
Let's face it. Todd Bowles is very weird with his nickels. They drafted him.
And, of course, Bowles played safety in the NFL.
They drafted him.
I was weird with dimes.
They drafted MJ Stewart. He was supposed to play nickel.
Well, why do you got to bring names up like that?
Historical significance. He was drafted as a second-round pick to play nickel. Bowles didn't like that.
Hold on. Stop right there. I knew the story on MJ Stewart was written in stone when the following sentence was said. We're cross-training him. Shut up with that cross-training. That means you made a mistake.
I think you were going to say the podcast has now gone off the rails by mentioning MG Stewart.
So let me take
who's still in the league, Ira.
Take you to 2019, right? So then you've got, we got Murphy Bunting's going to play a lot of nickel, and we got Mike Edwards.
So the first year for Arians and Bowles.
No. 2019 is when they decided MJ Stewart was going to play nickel. There's a story on JoeBucksFan.com from Nick Rapone who talks about how MJ Stewart is Tyrann Mathieu. That's in the archives.
Did he say he was going to shock the world, MJ Stewart?
He kind of implied that. Look, then we got Murphy Bunting, okay, whatever. And then what do they do? Bowles says, man, I don't like these nickels. Antoine Winfield's the new nickel in 2022. Oh, no, I don't like him there. And now we got 2023, who's the nickel? Izzy. And oh, man. I can't deal with that. Let me draft Tyke Smith. Oh, no, I'm moving him to safety. We don't know who the hell's playing nickel, Ira.
I will say this. It's a difficult position to play.
Jamel Dean?
Come on, Lee. Don't make me drop my microphone over here. The nickel has a lot of responsibilities. And you know what? That's why Rondé Barber was so special.
Yeah.
He was born for that position. He authored that position. And everybody's looking for the next Rondé Barber to play that position.
Good luck.
Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration. Write it on your refrigerator. Put it in your pocket. Put it in your phone. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. That has to be your first call when you see mold or have any sort of disaster in your property. It just has to be.
A burst pipe.
No question. You are the water damage whisperer, and you know all about water damage. You call Florida's Elite Restoration. They will get out to your property with a full evaluation. Nothing else you want. You want an expert there. Boom. And they'll respond 24/7. Mention Ira or Joe Bucksman when you first call, and owner Josh Martin will get you the Ira Kaufman discount.
And get to them before you call your insurance company.
And you'll get that discount if you need their service after they evaluate everything. Sean Sullivan, we're here at the Bill Curry Ford Studios. He's a two-time customer Florida's Elite Restoration. Unfortunately, because you never want to be a customer.
Beach house?
Yeah, never want to be a customer of Florida's Elite Restoration. It's kind of like your backup swing tackle. You never want to need them. But Sean's used them twice and raved about them in his last podcast, the Best in Class podcast. So check out their 5-star Google reviews. Sage endorsed. We're going to have some steak with some ribeye with Josh Martin.
I'm going to wash it down with a coconut donut.
He told me he was just very upset that you're eating Publix caliber ribeye. So he thinks it's time to go up for a real ribeye.
That's outstanding.
Next month, we'll figure it out. But for now, go to floridaselitereStoration.com and see what they do and understand why they have to be in your disaster plan as we get closer, unfortunately, to a hurricane season, Ira. So,
Steve, I don't see at this stage, I don't see how the Buckoff season could have been much better. I mean,
and we're not done.
David's back in the fold. Godwin's back in the fold. You just added Hassan Reddick, who I'm calling Mr. 14 sacks over there. You haven't lost anybody of tremendous significance. You know, you lost Hainsey, you lost Schooley.
KJ Britt's a Dolphin.
KJ Britt's a Dolphin. You replace it with another.
KJ Russell's gone.
The next
gone.
KJ Britt. It's been a very pleasant offseason for Jason Light, who, boy, he keeps putting the hammer down, Lee. He keeps coming up with this stuff. I don't know how he does it.
You mentioned Lavonte David coming back. Now, I didn't catch what the specific stat was. Larry Foote was talking about it. And I asked him, I said, you know, how nervous was the coaching staff? Did you think David was retired? Did you have an inkling? You know, just let me know what was the vibe in the coaching room. And he's, I knew he was coming back. Three of the last 4 years, he thought David was gone. He goes, David was a poker face. You ask him, you coming back? He wouldn't give you an answer. He goes, great poker face. You had no idea. Then this offseason, Lavonte David's very close to a Derrick Brooks record. Foote said, when I saw that he's within the reach of Derrick Brooks, I knew he was coming back. Now, I can't remember what stat that was. I didn't catch it. It's on a recording. It might be games played. Derrick Brooks played 224 games in a row.
Games started, games played.
And Lavonte David's like at 198.
Not in a row.
I just looked up these numbers, and Brooks has 224, Lavonte David 198. So he's sort of within reach.
Hey, Steve, let's be honest right now. We're having a whole different conversation on this podcast if Lavonte David's retired.
Yeah,
we'd be talking about the linebacker situation all off season, and they would kind of be stuck in drafting a linebacker maybe in the first round. And now I think they might take one, but I don't think they're desperate. If Lavonte David had retired, this is a whole different podcast.
So, Sage, you know, we do the Joe Bucks Fan Show on WDAE Radio, airs on the weekends, different times. Actually, next weekend will be 9 o'clock on Saturday morning on 95.3 WDAE, but I had this discussion there with Lee about Lavonte David. Now, Rondé Barber appeared on Jay Ratcher's podcast and talked about Lavonte David. And he said, I know he's chasing me. This is his 14th year. I got 16. He's chasing me. And he talked about how, you know, those records kind of matter to David. And I said to Lee thinks very likely this is David's last year. My take was
Rondé Barber played with Lavonte David.
Exactly. He mentioned that as well. It's his fight. He loves when David comes back because it's his link to the roster. My teammate. So, and Rondé Barber as well, almost 50 years old at this point. So anyway, bottom line, David is pushing these records. And my take was that he will come back next year, assuming he's healthy, if the Bucks are a really good team.
You're talking about 2026 already, Steve?
I'm talking about 2026. I think he has no desire to step aside unless the coach is gone. He's got to learn a new defense, and the team stinks. If the team goes back to the playoffs again, I don't see him walking away from a playoff team. What's your thought there?
I think he is driven. I think he's thinking about the Hall of Fame at this point, along with another Vince Lombardi trophy. I think you're right, Steve. If the Bucks go 7-10 for whatever reason,
he's out of here.
He's out. His tackle totals are climbing, Lee. They're just climbing. He's going to be in the top five if he's not there now. Now, Pro Football Reference keeps the tackles. They're the authority. Not Pro Football Focus.
No.
And they didn't start doing tackles till you know, the 80s or whatever.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So the old guys are, you know, Dick Butkus is the world.
I got a question for you before you go on about the old times, right? Because you're an old timer, Ira.
Oh.
Why did people in the 1970s decide, hey, tackles isn't a good stat to keep track of? We won't keep track of who actually tackled the guy. What were they thinking?
Yeah.
What were they thinking?
Maybe they were thinking it's too tough to determine who's got the tackle. Oh, is that tough?
I was thinking, well, it means we got to hire more people.
Who should get the credit?
Yeah. We got to have five spotters.
Now, this is the way I looked at Lavonte David. Maybe you guys disagree. I thought he was very good last year. Not as good as he was in 2023.
I agree.
I thought he was tremendous in 2023.
I agree.
Still very good.
Yeah.
Still very good.
Just FYI, maybe Foot was talking about seasons played. Brooks played 14, Lavonte David 13.
Okay. And then Rondé 16.
Yeah, Lavonte would tie Brooks this year.
That's right. Yeah. Not consecutive starts, because Brooks never got hurt, and Lavonte David has missed.
Yeah, he's missed time for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, Ira. David was not as good as he was in 2023.
But still very good.
But very good. Very good. I mean, if you didn't know how old he was, you'd say, we really want that guy back. He's our leading tackle.
And I think he's one of the few guys, and I think this is a big, big concern for Bowles. He's a good tackler.
Oh, of course.
So is Winfield. But yes, they don't have a lot of those guys.
No.
Some of them are bad tacklers.
Mm-hmm.
They got to weed those guys out, and I think they have to a certain
that's,
extent.
Yeah, weeds, all right.
Their tackling was poor, Steve.
Next-gen stats, you know, the GPS they use. No linebacker in the NFL got to the quarterback quicker than Lavonte David, according to next-gen stats.
He's a sneaky good blitzer, Lee. He's sneaky good. And they don't expect him to come, but when he does, he usually causes some damage. He can get there.
All right, Ira, speaking of damage, and no, I'm not talking about Florida's Elite Restoration. Thanks to Bill Curry Ford for letting us use their fantastic studios here. Sage approved.
They always accommodate us.
Even though you're sitting next to the garbage can.
I understand.
A very large garbage can.
I understand. But they're very accommodating for us.
Shop this weekend at BillCurryFord.com and shop at the dealership right here. Get in here. You'll be treated right, like family.
And this is Sean Sullivan's favorite time of year for his second job, which is being our super scout with the draft, and he's all over the draft right now. His podcasts are fantastic. A deep dive into each position. Amazing.
All right, Sage.
So we'll be back next week.
No, we have more to talk about. The donut. The coconut donut landed. So I'll tell you my story today. This morning, I was at 7 a.m. I was at Cosmic Donuts.
When they're opening, you were the first customer?
I was there at 7:05. I figured if I'm going to get the donuts, I don't want to miss the donuts. I made sure they open at 7.
You're amazing.
There I am, 7:05.
Did you get a cup of coffee, Steve?
No, I got no coffee. No, I don't drink coffee. Ira, 6 donuts were sitting there, beautifully displayed.
How many different donuts do they have?
Maybe 14 different.
But you saw the coconuts.
But they had racks of donuts, you know, that they, I guess, were cooling off or they were going to, whatever. There were the coconut donuts. And then I asked, I'd like 3 coconut donuts. And they said, would you like the coconut donut or the coconut cake donut?
Oh, geez.
Which is a whole nother animal. But
you see how he perked up?
Yeah.
I might have to shift my focus
over
here.
Bette Midler just walked through
the
door.
But you got the coconut donut, right?
I got the standard coconut donut.
Did you tell the person? I know a guy who's been looking for this all over town. Did you?
No, 7 a.m., Ira. I just said 3 coconut donuts, please.
Right. And then you shelled out the $22.
I bought the donuts, brought them to you here at $1. After the news conference, I presented you with the donuts. How long did it take you to stuff that donut in your mouth? Lee, how much time did it take for Ira to inhale the donut?
30 seconds, maybe?
I would say
like three bites would be done.
I would say less. You took a couple of pictures, Lee. Take a couple of pictures.
They're on Twitter, at JoeBucksFan, X.
Now, Steve, I'm driving down Dale Mabry, and I'm saying, you know, Steve said something in our previous podcast that, you know, he's got the place, Cosmic Donuts or whatever. So I'm driving down, and I'm thinking, like, there's a chance he might have stopped in Cosmic Donuts, and he might be bringing me some. But then I saw him in the room where Reddick was, the interview room, and I didn't see the bag. So I didn't know anything, and I figured, all right, it's not going to happen today. We'll do our podcast. And then he comes out with this bag. And you know, it was amazing.
Made your week. Made your month.
So review the donut. What grade?
Sensational. One bite. Only one, I'm only doing this off one bite. So that's like judging Hassan Redick off one game. But so far, spectacular. Hassan Redick-like spectacular.
So you didn't eat the whole donut? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
I can't eat the whole donut. Lee told me to take a bite. He told me to hold it up in a certain way.
Yeah, and then you inhaled it.
They're going to be devoured this evening. They will be devoured. I would dare say there's a good chance they'll be gone.
Better than your
They'll be gone by tonight.
Meaning 5 o'clock?
No. About 10. 10 o'clock.
Better than the massive birthday cake, I got you?
Well, that was very good too, Steve. You've been good to me.
All right.
You've been good to
We'll think about that. All right, look, third podcast of the week for the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. The other two, I think they might have actually been better, Ira. So go back and listen to those. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, JoeBucksFan.com. Sage will be back next week. Lee will be back next week. Ira, you're done. Lee, you have a final thought for the good people of Tampa?
I can't do coconut donuts.
No coconut donuts for late.
Redick gets an A today. An A.
He won the press conference?
He won it.
Oh, boy.